Let's begin to open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, and while you do that, I want to remind you of my, I call it the big idea of the whole series. So we're talking a relationship series. Any two, mostly normal people, we've said that, because if a person has a real psychological, emotional disorder, then it's going to be very difficult to virtually impossible to have meaningful relationships. But thankfully, praise the Lord, that the majority of us don't carry that huge burden. So any two mostly normal people who truly want to can experience a meaningful relationship. If you're in the middle of a broken one, a failing one, a hurt one, a separated one, whatever, it may not feel like that's true, but that is true. I've tested this for 40-something years. And that's an axiom. That's a truth. Any two, mostly normal people who truly want to, can experience a meaningful relationship. Okay, go forward, Derek. Come on. Don't quit on me now. It's on, yeah. There we go. Any two, mostly normal remote controls, if pressed properly, will advance the slides. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at the same passage again. We're going to read it again, the odd sequence. We're going to look at verse 10, then look at verses 8 through 12. We'll go right through it, but let's start with verse 10. Because for whoever would love life, you want to love life. You want to enjoy life. You want to get the most out of life and see good days. Well, I think that's all of us. They must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Back up to verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, those who seek peace and pursue it. And His ears are attentive to their prayers, those who seek peace and pursue it. But the face of the Lord is against those who are giving out the evil. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, help us through the message today. Help us to be able to recognize those negatives that will neutralize our meaningful relationships. Help us to be honest with ourselves, about ourselves. And we'll go out of here having understood the principles that you've given to us here in 1 Peter, and applying them to our relationships, whether married or not, because we all have somebody, or should have somebody, that we're in a good relationship with, a meaningful relationship with. Help us to learn how to neutralize those negatives that will destroy that precious gift from you of meaningful relationships. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In this sermon series, we're talking about relationships. We're talking about marriages. We're talking about parent-child relationship. We're talking about siblings. We're talking about friends, neighbors, any kind of relationship at all. Why? Now, why would we take time? Why would I insert a topical series? Not just because I always do between the study of a book, but why this series? Because by God's own design, relationships are vital to being able to enjoy the life that He created us to enjoy. He created us to experience in a way that's meaningful, where we know Him, celebrate Him, and experience Him. You've got to have those meaningful relationships. Even the perfection of the Garden of Eden, God said, it is not good for Adam to be in the perfect Garden of Eden with everything fine, everything provided, everything there, no sin, no sickness, no sorrow, no threat, nothing else. He said, it is not good to experience that alone. How much more important is it for us to experience a sin-plagued, defiled life as we have? I mean, our life is pretty good overall. It really is, if you compare it to a lot of other places in the world, but still. Even the Garden of Eden was not perfect without a relationship. We have seen that meaningful relationships are the answer to aloneness. As we just sang about all the lonely, the lost and lonely. The answer to that is relationships. Obviously, first of all, with God, but God needs skin on sometimes. And that comes in our meaningful relationships. We have seen that relationships don't just automatically work. And if you're older than about five, you've experienced that in life. You just don't automatically click, become like this with everybody that you're around. Because there are elements, there are attitudes, there are communication styles that will destroy the foundation of relationships, whether it's marriage or whether it's friendships. I've chosen this passage here in 1 Peter because if we understand what Peter is saying here and we take all its constituent parts and we apply them to our lives on a regular basis and we particularly apply them in our interactions with those who are around us, we will start seeing, it's like taking the volume and just turning it up, and our relationships will go from faint little can't quite make it out whispery kind of a deals to loud, full surround sound, 3D, TXX, whatever that, you know, they go to the movies and it goes, and we'll begin to experience relationships with that kind of dynamic. Last week we began talking about the negatives that will destroy our relationships. They will eat the foundation out from under them. Absolutely take the best hope you've got of a good marriage, the best hope you've got of a meaningful lifelong friendship, and destroy it. There are four negatives we're going to be looking at. Last week we started that looking at escalation. Now if you missed that sermon, you can find it at our website at Oak Harbor Family Bible. I gave you examples of escalation. Escalation happens when somebody throws a negative at you. You receive that negative and you turn right around and you throw a negative back, which is just so natural. I mean, you either clam up, okay, which is a negative, or you throw some smart aleck return in kind and you've got escalation. As soon as you respond in kind, whether it's aggressive or passive, we begin to, you can just hear the termites eating the foundation off and under the relationship that you're working on. We looked at Peter's advice about escalation. In verse 9, he says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. When somebody throws a negative at you, do not throw one back. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this, what? Repaying evil with blessing. You were called. Why? So that you may inherit a blessing. Now, we tried to take apart a little bit of what certain words. The word evil, we talked a little bit about that last week. When they heard that particular word, I think that my understanding of the language that the first century would have understood evil more on that end of the far end of the scale. When someone makes evil comments, or that is inadequate comments, they say something that's just inadequate for the situation, or they may say something that's insufficient, or they say something that is inappropriate. When people do that, and they will do that, and your best friend will do that, your spouse will do that because you are married to a sinner. I'm glad you didn't say amen if you were married. That's good. Your best friend is a sinner and they will let you down. Everybody will let you down. I will let you down. I don't want to let you down. I'd rather bleed than let you down, but I will let you down because I'm a sinner. When that happens, don't return the favor because escalation destroys relationships. So what do we do about that? We stop escalation dead in its tracks with thoughtful responses. Somebody throws a negative at you. Somebody peels your hide. Somebody criticizes you, puts you down. You stop and think, okay, whoa. My spouse just stuck a knife in me. My best friend just cut my knees right off and under me. What's really going on? I can tell that you're really hurting because that comment shows me there's an injury there. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what's going on. Escalation destroys relationships, and we stop escalation with thoughtful responses. The first negative is escalation. What's the second? The second negative is invalidation. Invalidation. Invalidation occurs when you subtly or directly put down the thoughts and feelings or actions or worth of your partner. Invalidation is when you either subtly, you just kind of, you know, insinuate something, Or you come right out and say, that's stupid. You know, you tear into them. Invalidation occurs when we either subtly or directly put down the thoughts, feelings, actions, or worth of your partner, your friend, your spouse. On the other hand, validation, instead of invalidation, validation is causing the one who has a concern to feel like they've been heard. They bring an issue to you. They bring a concern to you, and you go, whoa, time out. Oh, stop, stop the presses, everything. Whoa. Talk to me about this. What's going on? What happened? They did what? What happened? What? And you stop and you make them feel heard. You look at them. You interact with them. You respond to them by talking to them as they talk to you about that thing that's injured them. And you make them feel respected. Of course, validation is a very important part of all successful relationships of any kind. But it's interesting to note that when it comes to validation and invalidation, validation is very important. You don't have validation, you won't have a good relationship. But research, marital research, it's several places in the books that I read, which one of them is this one right here, Lasting Promise, one of my favorite books on marriage. You want to read a really good book on marriage? You read that one. You will like it. It's got a lot of dialogue in it. You can look at it and you go, ooh, that's me. Oh, whoa, great. I got to make some changes. You know, it's really got a lot of great examples in it. It's a team of four experts have put it together based on a lot of research. Enough of the sales pitch. I don't get any commission off selling that book. Okay? Validation is very important, but invalidation, the presence of invalidation in a marriage, the presence of invalidation in a friendship is the greatest predictor of future problems and even of divorce. If I watch you interact and I see in your marriage, I see in your interaction a lot of invalidation going on, either overt or covert, subtle or outspoken, okay, directly, subtle or directly, and I see that there, I'll lay odds 10 to 1. There will be more problems and there may even end up being a divorce. There will be more problems in that relationship and you will end up parting ways. You will not be able to work. It'll take every bit of energy you've got to make that relationship work because of the presence of invalidation. Invalidation says more about where the relationship is going than anything else. Validation simply doesn't tell you as much. It's vital, but it doesn't tell you as much about the real status of the relationship as the presence of invalidation. Years ago when I was in Moses Lake, at I don't remember the setting, I just remember the event really well. So a guy in my church obviously was upset with me. And this is not the same story I told last week. If you got a problem, I'm your person to bring it out, okay? If you can be irritated, give me a chance, I'll find where to irritate you. It's just a gift of mine. And God gave it to me in order to help you grow. And I noticed this guy was really upset, and I went to him, and I said, hey, man, what's going on? He wouldn't look at me. You ever talk to anybody like that? You try to talk to him. Hey, dude. Yo, over here. Hi. Just messing around. I said, what's the deal? I kept trying and trying and trying and trying to get this guy to talk. He wouldn't look at me. He wouldn't talk to me. It's like I was a phantom. It's like I was a... just a ghost just floating through the room, okay? A 260-pound ghost hovering around you telling you to get your act together and talk to me. And I had never seen, I was only 24, 25 years old, something like that. I'd never seen an adult act that way that I could remember. I'd never seen. And I kept trying. So I thought, okay. Now look, I did things in my 20s that you shouldn't do in your, you know, single digits. I thought, okay, I'm going to make him mad at me. Because if he gets mad at me, he'll start chewing me out. At least we'll have a conversation. So I insulted him on purpose. I said, you're acting like a child. Well, this was a businessman with a good reputation in the community for doing a good job and everything else. And he looked up. He looked at me. He said, you can insult me if you want to. I thought, yeah, we got a conversation going, you know. I said, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm trying to get you to talk to me. So I thought I'd try an insult. He looked away, wouldn't talk to me again. Okay. I finally gave up. Then I did something that I rarely do, and I contacted his wife. I said, look, this is what's going on. Do you have any counsel, any advice for me? And with a chuckle in her voice, she said, oh, that's just how we do things. Sometimes we don't talk to each other for 6 weeks at a time. Then I had nothing to say. I just stared. I went, huh? You do what? How can a married couple go an hour without talking to each other if they're in each other's presence? You know what? And over the years, I have heard it over and over and over again that they will just ignore each other, or it'll just be, you know, the conversation will be pass the salt, pick the kids up, take the laundry out, you know. Friends do it too, but what friends tend to do, it's easier because friends don't live with each other usually. Sometimes they do. They tend to just kind of move apart. They don't connect as often. So what they're doing is passive-aggressively ignoring one another. Well, I finally did break through with a guy, and we became best of friends, but come to think of it, he hadn't talked to me about 6 or 7 years, so I don't know where I am, actually. The silent treatment is an insulting and belittling form of invalidation. It is a huge put-down. It says to the person, you're nothing. You are absolutely nothing. You are so insignificant, I won't even make eye contact with you. You know, like you've gone, have you ever gone someplace where they had the big markets? You know, you go out overseas and you go where they're trying to get you, and you go, don't make eye contact with them. You know, because as soon as you make eye contact with them, they're all over you, man. You want to buy this? You want to buy this? You know, so you don't make eye contact. You walk along like this. And friends and spouses do that with each other. And it's cruel. And it's childish. And if you do that to your friends, if you do that to your spouse, you are cruel and you are childish. And if the shoe fits, wear it. See, I told you I had the gift of irritating, all right? Another invalidation is to belittle the person's opinion or situation. Just to belittle, just to, eh. Here's some examples. Oh, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Somebody comes to you and says, oh, this and that, and you go, oh, that's nothing. You're just making a mountain out of a molehill. You shouldn't feel that way. I'm really frustrated. I'm really upset. I'm really hurt. I'm really insulted. You know, well, you shouldn't feel that way. That's just a put down. You're just totally invalidating the reality. Regardless of whether or not they're justified in feeling that way, they feel that way. That's their reality. You got to deal with their reality or you are invalidating them. You're putting them down. You are not doing what our text says. Well, you know, they may have a point. Oh, wow. In fact, because you have failed to communicate well, you failed to talk to each other and deal with it, you've been waiting for a chance like this for somebody else to get them on that. And so now you're gonna go, well, yeah, you know, I've kind of been observing the same thing. That's nothing but an invalidation and a put down, a belittling, cruel thing. You are supposed to be their best friend. You are supposed to be their spouse. You are supposed to be partners in this. They come to you in pain, and what do? Kick them. Twist the knife that somebody else has put in them. Now, sometimes we dress these put-downs up in religious-sounding terms. You need to just trust God. You need to just trust God. You know what? You say, well, isn't that true? That is true. But when you say it at the wrong time, the wrong person, the wrong way, it's a put-down. It is an invalidation. God's working here. God, listen, God's at work. God's at work. You know what? Oh, I shouldn't say this, but I will anyway. I hope you reap what you sow. You know, if you're going around with that high and mighty thing, you know, by the way, that's how I learned it was finding out that I meant well, but I was an idiot, and I'm still learning that. When we respond to people like this, we are in effect saying that their feelings of fear and frustration are inappropriate. That there's something wrong with them. That they feel like that. Well, maybe technically that's true, but you don't help them by kicking them in the teeth when somebody else has already knocked them down. Invalidation. One of the most common invalidations that happens in marriages, and the similar things happen, it works different in friendships, but in marriages, here's what happens, and this is such a lonely, lonely experience. The spouse, is experiencing and feeling that emptiness, and that loneliness, that lack of connection. There's been this thing, and they go to their spouse. They finally muster up the courage, swallow their pride, and say, I think we need to get counsel. To which, and I've heard this so many times, I was ordained in 73. I have no idea how many times I've heard this over those years. I don't need any counsel. If you need counsel, you'll get it. I'm just fine. Whoa, time out. I don't even begin to get that. Your best friend in the world just came to you and says, I'm miserable in our marriage. We need help. And you go, well, that's your problem. I'm fine. You are not fine if your spouse is not fine. You're oblivious. I'm not trying to be mean, but I am trying to kind of be shocking. Stop and think about it. If your spouse is unhappy, you need to respond to it. Let me illustrate how this works. And if this little illustration is inappropriate, don't tell me till after the third service. The Lone Ranger and Tonto are riding across the plains, and they come head on into 10,000 Sioux warriors. So they turn around and head the opposite direction, only to be confronted by 10,000 Apache warriors. So they take off in a different direction, only to run into 10,000 from the Blackfoot Nation. So they go the only direction they've got left, run into 10,000 from the Iroquois that are all on the warpath, find themselves surrounded by 40,000 Native American warriors. The Lone Ranger looks at Tonto and says, what are we going to do? Tonto says, what you mean we, white man? Now that's what I'm talking about in marriages and friendships. When somebody comes to you and says, we've got a problem. You say, oh, I don't have a problem. I'm fine. It's your problem. What you mean we, white man? The Lone Ranger became truly the Lone Ranger in that. You're facing a problem. You thought you had someone to stand with you. You thought you had somebody to stand by you and help you. And you came to them and they just blew it off and said, it's your problem. Not going to do it. Not going to respond. You know why? You know why a spouse says that? Too proud to admit they might be doing something wrong. That's all it is pride. That's all it is pride. You've got a crumbling relationship, a crumbling marriage, or a crumbling friendship in front of you, and you're too proud to say, okay, all right, I've been an idiot. I'm oblivious to this thing. I mean, hello, how long has this been going on? I am sorry. Let's get the phone book. Okay. Let's go. Well, it may cost. I don't care what it costs, because my relationship to you is worth more than anything it would cost. My relationship to you is worth more than any effort it'll take. My relationship is worth more than anything we do. Otherwise, what you're saying is, hey, my pride is more important than you. My pride is more important than us. Now, who would actually say that? I mean, it'd be scary to find somebody actually say that. In that case, you just basically are stuck with walking out the door on friendships or marriages. I mean, when people feel like that, it takes two. When two, mostly normal, people really want to, they can have a meaningful relationship. So what do we do? Scriptures have a lot to say about this. It's just one, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building, what's that next word? Others up according to what? Their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. How do we neutralize invalidation? How do we do that? Well, we look back at our text here. First thing is be like-minded. Think the same thing. This refers to unity. Unity on the majors. That's unity. Is unity on the majors is unity. And unity on the major things. That doesn't mean you agree about everything. Doesn't mean you all like the same thing. Doesn't mean that the solution to all problems are the same. It doesn't mean that, no, not at all. What you are is in unity. You think the same way when it comes to commitment. We are family. Family overrides temporary incidental discomforts. We are committed to each other. Commitment overrides all of those things that would cause us to, you know, we don't like, or is an irritation or something. We are thinking the same thing. The big things, commitment, loyalty, sacrifice, values, those things we agree on. We may not agree on the color, the flavor, the duration, or the temperature, or something like that. But because of our commitment to one another as friends, I have chosen to be your friend. You and I, we have decided, we are committing to each other to be friends. We're going to be there. You can call me at 3 in the morning. I can call you at 3 in the morning. We're going to be there. We're going to irritate each other because we're so available. We took vows of marriage, and we are in this thing. We are in life together, up and down. Whether it's my way or your way, it's us. Be like-minded. Second thing, oh, we're just looking at, you know, at verse 8. That's what I'm going through. Be sympathetic. Let's feel the same thing. You need to feel what they feel. When they hurt, you hurt. When they're happy, you're happy. It might be absolutely nothing to you. This one might be, that's whatever. No. Your friend, your spouse is afraid, concerned, hurt, whatever. Then it impacts you the same way. Be sympathetic. Feel the same thing. Love one another. Love one another. This is, like Philadelphia, brother love, philos. This is the word. Most of you are probably familiar with that. Love one another. This is the kind of love that is, 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, is patient, is kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, is not proud. Oh, well, if you weren't so messed up, if you get your act together, you and me. No, it's not proud like that. Doesn't rejoice in evil. Doesn't keep store. Well, you got your way the last four times. It's my turn. So you just go do whatever you're going to do. I'm not getting involved in this. No. That's not love. That's all about making yourself feel good. Love one another. Love the other. That's what love one another is pointing at. Love the other. So think the same thing. Feel the same thing. Love the other. Be compassionate. That is interested in the other. It means you are truly into what makes them successful and you rejoice and you're just happy with it. They may like, you know, something you absolutely don't relate with at all. It doesn't matter. If it's cool for them, it's important to you. It is in reality important to you because it's important to your spouse or it's important to that relationship that you've made with your friends. One more. He said, be humble, serving the other. Finding out, what can I do? How do I invest in you? When you got two people, mostly normal, not too messed up, who truly want to, this person invests in this person invests in that, and that's the focus, that's the idea. Both of them inherit a blessing. That's what it says in our text. You are called to inherit that blessing that comes from two people investing in each other. Not saying, what do I need? This is what I need. No, you forget what you need. You invest in the other person and you will get everything you want and more. You'll get it, as they say, in spades. How can I value? To neutralize invalidation, we must value others' reality or their reality. I have got to recognize that what is hurting you hurts me. I don't care if I think it's the silliest thing in the world. It's a big deal if it hurts you and you're my friend, you're my spouse. If you're super excited about it, it may be so trivial that I'm like, really? No. Cool, because you're my friend. You're my spouse. I'm excited about what you're excited about. That neutralizes invalidation. Next week, third negative that tears the foundation off and under our relationships. Father, I forgot to pray earlier for our deployed. Take care of them. Keep them safe. Keep them close to you. Father, help us in our relationships to validate one another. May we become aware of our patterns of invalidation and not invalidate each other. Father, help us to swallow our pride and admit when we do need to make those changes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.